Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. My name is Corby LaCroix, and the song you're hearing right now is called Great and Mighty One, available on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your music. But for now, recording from the Unscripted Studio, here's your host and my friend, Aaron Conrad.
Great Redeemer, God of grace.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Unscripted from my studios in Hilliard, Ohio. And speaking of Hilliard, Ohio, and it's the season of giving and Unscripted. And so we're very excited to have Kim back. Kim, can you introduce yourself and we'll go from there?
Sure. I'm Kim Emsch. I'm the founder and executive director of Festa. And Festa is about serving our neighbors.
That's right. And we've had Aaron on before and you've been on before. So big fans of Festa. And so actually, let's start here. We just did our little turkey trot, you know, our little family, free family turkey trot, which started with the five of us. And then Aaron has taken that to a whole nother level and she has done amazing things. And so she had a car full of just donations. How amazing was that?
It was so great. There were over 200 people there running in a free turkey trot the morning of Thanksgiving to really get those bodies moving before lots of eating and to serve the community, to serve our neighbors. And so the food that people brought, the non-perishable food, we'll use that at our three-generation family English program for the adults for hospitality and some snacks for the children as well.
Love it. We're in the season of giving. And the reason why I created this platform was to give you all the mic. So I want you to tell the story. Can you just, for anybody that maybe missed your first episode, can you tell your story and the story of Festa and how all this happened?
Yeah, I'm a mom and I've lived in Hilliard, Ohio my whole adult life. Brought my children home from the hospital to this community. And in 2007, I learned there were 2,158 children in my town, my suburban town, facing poverty and hungry in the summer because schools closed and they couldn't get a free lunch. Mm. And it broke my heart as a mom. I couldn't imagine not being able to feed my own children three meals a day. And I felt a call in my life by God to love, serve, and feed the children facing poverty in my suburban town, body, mind, and spirit, and bring the community with me to serve our neighbors. And so our first summer, suburban free summer lunch camp, I met amazing children, very similar to my own children, with families who love them, many for whom did not speak English well and didn't have margin in their lives as parents to really give their children opportunities where they could thrive. And at the end of the summer, parents asked, they felt education was their children's best way out of poverty, and they asked for help with their children with homework because they were watching them fall behind in school because of the parents' lack of English, work schedules, lack of technology. And so we started after school tutoring and homework help and continued talking with parents and noticed many children translating for their parents to be able to talk to us. Wow. And so we added adult English and preschool to the after school program so that we could serve the entire family, infant to grandparent. Because when parents started asking about English, we searched, Aaron, all over the Central Ohio community, which, by the way, Columbus is the 14th largest city in the country. And we found so few adult English programs that today in Columbus, Ohio, 3% of people looking for an English class can find one. And the majority of counties in Ohio have no adult English programs. And traditionally, 80% of the adults attending English programs are men. So when we added adult English and preschool to our after-school program, in effect, we invented a three-generation family English program. And 80% of the adults who come to our program are women. So we flipped that narrative. And that way, the children can get homework help, tutoring, dinner, while parents are learning English at multiple levels. So they're exactly where they need to be able to learn as quickly as their brain can learn. And so our objective is helping children and families out of poverty, OUT out this generation.
I love that. One of my good friends runs the nonprofit Samaritan's Feet. And he told me once that you have to make sure your goals and dreams are big enough to create room for others to join you. Mm. It's one of my favorite quotes. If we ever have a corporate office someday, it'll be in the wall in that corporate office good. Because it's so true. And just to take everybody through that again, you started with a goal of the fact that kids go to school throughout the year and that's where they eat.
Mm-hmm.
and then summer comes.
Right.
And there are children, not just in Hilliard, but probably across the United States,
that don't
get lunch because they're not in school. At the core foundation, is that, that's correct, right?
Yeah,
like they don't get lunch.
Right. And my son always reminds me to rattle off this statistic because it's powerful. The best way that we deal with food instability in the United States is food stamps. The second best way is school free and reduced lunch. And that's now breakfast and lunch for many, many years. And so if you think of 2/3 of a child's nutrition coming from school, now think of it this way, 21.5 million children get a free or reduced school lunch across the United States of America. In the summer, for 12 weeks, less than 4 million of those children get one. That means 17.5 million children go without in the summer. And it is the biggest food instability in our country. And it's almost invisible. People don't know about it. People don't talk about it. Now, since COVID, I tell people all the time, before COVID, I felt like I spent about 50% of my time convincing people that poverty was in the suburbs. And sometimes I was successful and sometimes I wasn't. And since COVID, I felt like people started to finally, praise God, say out loud, what happens to the children who got free lunch? And so people started caring. They started understanding how productive of a program that is, quite honestly, to add nutrition and food to children, but what a gap there is in the summer. And so we've taught 17 communities around Ohio how to do free summer lunch camp in the summer in the suburbs.
Mm. And so you just mentioned it. That's the ground floor was, again, lunches for summertime. That's kind of where you had, that was your entry point into this nonprofit. Then COVID hits and now kids aren't even going to school. So they may not eat just for, you said 12 weeks, they may not eat at all because they were relying on the schools to get their lunches. And I'm not here to debate whether that's right or wrong. I'm here to say we need to feed our children.
Yeah.
And if, you know, we packed our kids' lunches every night, we have that benefit.
Yep.
Some people do not have that benefit and they get that benefit through the local school. And I don't know anybody that would argue that, but they're not aware that for 3 months, those kids are striving to get a meal.
That's
then
right.
Then COVID hits and now that school's not even there. So how did you all handle COVID? Just to take us back for a quick minute. How did you handle COVID?
Well, it was interesting because March 12th of 2020 will be ingrained in my brain forever, probably some date around there for most people. But we were running our family English as a second language program, and I had board members calling me saying, I think we need to take a break. I think we need to shut it down. And I kept saying, like, what about the families? Mm-hmm. What about the dinner we're providing the children every night? What about the parents and the English and ability to get out of poverty and get a job? And so finally on the 12th of that year, we did shut down the program. And I'll never forget, Aaron, the very next week, I was saying, honestly, again, I'm Christian, faith-based nonprofit. And I was like, okay, God, what we really do is gather hundreds of people together. And now we can't.
Yeah. Right.
What
you
are
can't.
We going to do?
Not allowed.
And so we spent the first month honestly calling 700 families. We called them all. And we said, how are you doing? How can we help you? What are the gaps? What are the biggest things that are keeping you up at night? Help us understand. And how can we love and serve you? How can we pray for you? And so we learned a lot. We started that we then in Hilliard for specific, we brought together a bunch of the community leaders from city government to churches to nonprofits. And we did Zoom calls and said, like, what are you hearing? And we were sharing what we were hearing from 700 families facing poverty in our town. Wow. And so we were saying, like, what could we do together? How can we work together? And summer was coming very quickly from March and April. Summer was coming very quickly because the schools started to distribute lunches. They had a responsibility to get food to the children who got it for free. It was part of their responsibility. And they were going to different locations. Parents were driving up. They were doing that pretty darn well. They turned on a dime. But summer was coming and they were going to be out of that space.
Yeah.
And so we came up with a concept. This will tell you a tad bit about my childhood. But every Friday night when I was little, I would watch Love Boat and Fantasy Island.
Absolutely.
And my mom would trim my nails and put curlers in my hair. And no matter what other craziness was going on in my family, like I could count on Love Boat and Fantasy Island.
And
they always ended really well and happily. And I liked that. And so I was inspired to, we created a camp that summer that we called Camp 2U. And so we we went to 15 locations for 55 days and we handed out lunch and activity bags. And then we raced home after that and we got on our computers and we did this. We did live camp virtually for 35 days of the summer with children.
Mm.
And we did it in Arlington and we did it in Hilliard and we did it by age group. So all the second and third graders were on together, all the middle schoolers were on together. And then we had those activity bags they got at lunch. We would say like, okay, go outside now. See that jump rope? Like, let's jump rope together. And so we checked in on the children and we were something at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock every day they could count on and know that someone cared, someone saw them. This too shall pass. We're going through this all together. And so we turned on a dime. And then in the school year, we ended up taking apart our three-generation family English program. We put the adults online. In fact, we had done that in the spring straight away. And then we went to 5 locations from Canal Winchester to Dublin to Worthington and Hilliard. We went to 5 locations and did after-school tutoring and homework help. So we pulled that part. Remember, that's what parents asked for after the first summer, help with homework.
Right.
So we pulled that nucleus out of the family ESL program and we took it on the road to more locations, but we did it in person, just in small groups with masks and a lot of hand sanitizer and $900 cleaning machines.
I always believe that it's better in a small business or a nonprofit to be a jet ski and not an ocean liner because of the things you just mentioned, right? Like it's easy to just navigate a jet ski, to turn on a dime, to do things. But as a nonprofit grows, as you all have, it's really hard to turn an ocean liner around and pivot. So, you know, this nonprofit has grown for you. How hard is it for you all to shift and change like a jet ski versus an ocean liner?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, I use the cruise ship example, so I'm right with you. I talk about that a lot. And that's one of the things I love about running a nonprofit is I was just talking to a teacher in a school district out in Springfield, Ohio, a month ago, and she was saying, well, you know, you have to do things this way and this way and this way. And I said, with all due respect, I don't.
Right.
I'm not a school.
Right.
I'm a nonprofit. We are so far outside the box that we don't have to live in the box. And so even though we have gotten larger, I think the large part of us has really done two things. One, economy of scale. We have learned, for example, in the beginning years, we might have 8 lunch sites with 20 to 30 children at a site.
Right.
Now we have 3 and they have a couple hundred children at each site. We learned economy of scale is a real thing. I think the other thing that growing has benefited us and not taken away the jet ski-ishness of us is we have really honed our model. And I'll say it briefly this way. So I think everybody can understand if I brought 300, 700 people together from 52, 60 countries, including the United States, but many, many more who spoke hundreds of languages. And I said, let's come into the gym and play soccer together and expect it to go great.
Right.
Like, do we all think that that is possible?
Right.
So we have designed a way to create the environment based on respect, based on loving your neighbor, based on growth mentality, that people from all walks of life, literally socioeconomically, racially, ethnically, religiously, culturally, can come into a space, our Festa loving community, and thrive and be joyful and find hope and find acceptance and belonging. And that is by design. That's not by accident. It doesn't just happen. And so that model we have honed over 16 years, and we've honed it to the point that we can have another location. We have a second family English program this year in Dublin. And it goes just the same as the one in Hilliard because we've honed it. And so we can still turn on a dime and do something new. I was just having a meeting about a dream I've had for a long time of a documentary about this story. And so we can turn on a dime. We can grasp onto new ideas and do something exciting. But we also have a model that is really effective and we've written it down and we can teach other people.
Yeah. And you have. And so directors that are listening, if you're looking for a documentary, it might be somebody to contact for sure. So you started with food, you started with lunches, you started with this vision, and then these other things you've mentioned, English as a second language now a few times. So you bolted that on. There's other things that have now come into this vision. Again, that's why you create room for others to join you. You've created room for others to join you, and they weren't just lunches. And so I know you've touched on it a few times. Can you just talk about English as a second language for anybody listening?
Yeah. I mean, imagine yourself as a child, you know, growing up in your hometown. And what if your mom can't help you with homework?
Right.
Or read the street signs or provide you three meals a day? And what if when she takes you to the doctor, she can't understand them? And can you even imagine having to leave your city, your state, your country because you fear for your life? I mean, the lack of English language skills in America negatively affects every single area of life. The lack of English bars people from the workplace without a living wage. It's a quicksand into poverty. Wow. I mean, if a parent can't find a job, their children are hungry and they're worried about food, clothing, and shelter every day. Moms will tell me if they can't speak English, they can't talk to their children's teacher or the person at the grocery store. They can't make a friend. They end up having no relationships with anyone outside their home, which is extremely isolating and depressing.
Yeah.
And so when we noticed children translating for their parents, when parents said, "Where can I learn English?" And we searched, again, we looked all over. We found, and we've still done, and actually in Columbus, Ohio, we have done the research on how many adult English programs exist. It wasn't out there. Nobody had a list.
Yeah,
and we've done it. And the elected officials tell us there are 185,000 new Americans in Greater Central Ohio. And I meet people who are new. So I think it's, you know, it's bigger than that.
Right.
Which I think is awesome. Again, like I can travel the world and I'm right here in the city. I don't need a passport or shots. And I can just meet people from all over the globe. In any case, when we asked how many adult English programs are in Central Ohio, we found 23 total. We're one of them. So 22 others. And we said, how many humans are you serving? And we added it up, 5,382. So if you divide that by 185,000, 3%.
Wow.
Well, it's, I mean, again, if you think about your life and as you walk through your life, where do you come in contact with people who want to learn English? You come in contact with them on the roof of your house, doing landscaping at your company, in the kitchen of your favorite restaurant, in your children's classroom. Your neighbors. And if someone wants to learn English in this country, it's so great to teach them because it unleashes it's literal brain waste if we don't. I know people who are a dentist, a lawyer, and they're working on an assembly line or at Old Navy in the cash register line. Right. I mean, that's brain waste. We need people working at the height of their abilities, their education, and contributing to so our communities can thrive and our workplaces can thrive.
This is not a political statement by any means. Our borders are wide open and we're seeing an influx of people coming across our border and they're going to various cities. Because I think what you all do is very important for those people that are coming across our border that have the American dream that we've had the benefit, the blessing of having in our lives. Do you anticipate that? Have you seen that yet? I don't know how big Ohio is in terms of, you know, the influx, but there are a lot of people coming across our border right now. And they're the kind of people that you just talked about, people that probably don't have skills, that don't know where to start, that their kids, you know. I know this is, again, this is not a political question. This is a question of humanity and this is your heartbeat. Yeah. So have you seen that?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I met with a man who retired from running the state of Ohio Refugee Services. He worked there for 20 years before he retired. And I asked to take him to lunch. I said, "Can I buy you lunch? Will you explain to me how a person gets from the other side of the planet to Columbus, Ohio?"
Right.
I just want to understand how does this happen? And again, I probably had 8 pages of notes, but to concise it for you, and in my words, not his expert words, but our country from day one has accepted hundreds of thousands on purpose people to come to our country happily, openly. because we knew that we had something to offer them, and we need workers, and we need the, I mean, I studied economics in school. The best countries have the most humans.
It's
because we all, I'll put it this way. The best resource on the planet Earth is human beings. Mm-hmm. It's you, it's me, it's humans. Right. We are so creative. We have intellect. We can problem solve. We can fix. We can create. We can work. So our country has had always, no matter what the presidents, no matter Democrat or Republican, we have always had a system where we have allowed people to come into our country. Mm-hmm. And then as immigrants, as refugees, as political asylees, as migrants, I mean, we have had a process to do that. And so, for example, right now we have, last year we had one Ukrainian family at our family ESO program. Now we have 75 people from the Ukraine. We took in 89 Afghan refugees January of 2022, which only made up 9 families. And so, I mean, I look at it this way. I, like you said, was blessed beyond blessed to be born in Toledo, Ohio.
Right.
And I've had opportunities. I was the first person in my family to go to college. Now my children have been to college. My son just finished his master's degree. I mean, we are blessed to have opportunity that, and I have a family from the Congo that comes to our programs. Mother is 38 years old, has never been to school a day in her life. I'm much older than 38, FYI. Much.
Yeah.
And just because of where I was born and she was born, our opportunities are completely different.
Right.
And so I feel like the call on my life is to love, serve, and feed my neighbors, body, mind, and spirit, and to bring the community with me to build relationships across lines of difference.
Yeah.
Because you and I mean, I'm able to pay my rent this month. I'm able to buy groceries for my family. And I still have needs. I have needs of contributing, of being known, of being in relationship, of being part of a community, of doing something that matters. And at Festa, in this loving community, we have people who have needs of food, clothing, and shelter. And we have people who have needs like the ones I just named. But they all have needs. And they come together and build these relationships with respect across lines of difference. And they're all changed because of it. And it starts with English, but it goes so far beyond English.
Those are all the rooms that you've created for other people to join your dream. So, all right, I want to know all the links. And then I have one question for you before we get out. And I'm so thankful for you being on today to just join in the season of giving. And I hope people will listen and have been impacted. I know I have just in our conversation, but be impacted to do something for you all. So that being said, if they want to do something for you all, what are all your links?
So our website is a great place to go. It's wearefesta.org. And our Instagram and our Facebook are at wearefesta, F-E-S-T-A. And we have big dreams. We have 2 locations that we run of our flagship family English program. Because by the way, no one else is attending to children when they attend to adult English. All those 22 other organizations, it's adults only. And if you're a woman and there's no care for your children, guess what? You can't come.
You're not going. Right.
Well, we've got 2 locations. We taught 2 other groups to run. So there's 4 locations now in Columbus. We want 10. We want to serve 10,000 people for whom English is not their first language, who want to learn English, infant to grandparent. And so that's where we're headed. We want people to jump on board with us. You can volunteer. There's tangible items that need donated, like hula hoops and Christmas toys and things like that, all the way to we can teach people how to be an English teacher. We have an ESL teacher school. You can go through it and learn how to be a teacher for English. You can hold a baby. You can donate financially and help us grow to serve 10,000 people in Central Ohio.
Obviously, financial is the one that everybody goes to. Like, they just want my money. No, there's a lot of other ways you can help. And that's all there at wearefesta.com. Is that right? And then on socials, wearefesta as well, at wearefesta.
Yeah, wearefesta.org. And we also have,
thank you.
We feed the children. So we ask for donations of food at family. So we ask people to be a dinner angel. Just come with your Boy Scout troop, your basketball troop, your Bible study, and serve dinner and eat with children from all over the globe.
That's awesome. I love what you've done. And I love that people are filling in those rooms again in that vision that you've had. I love that they're filling in the room. So let me ask you one last question.
Sure.
And that is, and this is very unscripted. What is one story that you think of and think, this is why I did this? This is why God called me to do this in my life. I have to think there's a family, there's a story, there's probably hundreds, but what's the very first one that comes to your mind when you think that was the moment that you said, yeah, God, thank you for bringing me and allowing me to do this?
Well, there's a family of seven, five children and a mom and a dad. And we met them in January of 22. They came from Afghanistan when the U.S. troops left and the Taliban conflict grew. They came so fast. They got here with little more than the clothing on their backs. And right away, they got adopted by a local church that we work really closely with. And 15 volunteers agreed to wrap around this family. And let me be clear, this family didn't, no one spoke English. Their plan had never been to come to America. Not even close. But language barrier is no match for the power of human connection. So these 15 volunteers and this family became family quickly. And the first thing the volunteers did was enroll the family in FASTA's three-generation family English program. And so the parents started coming, learning English with all five children who could get all the education they needed from preschool to homework help to dinner. And quickly, the dad was able to find work, thank goodness, and the volunteers were driving him there every morning at 5 a.m.
Wow.
And the children were getting settled into school, and the whole family could come after school to FASTA to practice their English, to get those assistance, the classroom for the parents, the preschool, the homework help, the dinner for the children. And quickly, within a year about, the dad got his driver's license, which gave the family freedom. And the mom, her English has afforded her the opportunity to sell her food at a local farmer's market because of a close relationship with FASTA. And that's quickly turning into a catering business for her.
Mm.
And this year, I ran into this family at a 4th of July barbecue. And there were 100 people, American and foreign born, celebrating the 4th of July together with this family. And I was watching these multicultural relationships between all of the people change their lives. And one of the volunteers came to me at the 4th of July barbecue and said, Kim, of everything we did to wrap around this family for a year and a half, the best thing we did was then roll them in the family English program. Without that, nothing we did would have mattered. And that has inspired me, again, to be crazy, to go from where we are at about 1,000 people to want to go to 10,000 people.
Right.
Because I stand at the line of registration every, personally, as the director, every time, because I start people on the waiting list and I tell them, I'm the director. I'm working so hard so you can get in, I promise, because grown men cry. Because they want into this program and there's nothing else like it. And so that's what motivates me. That's when I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, that God's put me here for a reason with a really big mouth and a lot of passion for human beings that he created in his image and the ability to bring people together who think they might be super different to find out that they're really similar.
Right. We're all human beings. I mean, at the end of the day, right? We're all human beings. And I love that this started with feeding kids. Like that was the goal, was feeding kids. And now you're feeding parents, but you're feeding them by giving them the tools they need, including speaking the English language, to survive, thrive, and do well this country that you and I have talked about being blessed in.
Yeah.
I love that you're giving them more than just food for their bellies. You're giving them something that will actually provide food for their bellies, but also a roof over their head and all the other things. Gosh, that's so incredible. It has to be so life-giving to you to come to work every day.
It is. And you know, Aaron, nobody wants to be in a food pantry line. No. I mean, thank God we have them.
Right.
Nobody wants to go.
Sure.
So I've always felt like the best social service is a job. And so how we get people want to go to work, earn an income, and take care of their family. That's what they want. That's what we all want. And so if we can just take down a few barriers and help people run in their space, run in their lane, use all their gifts and talents, be the helpers, the volunteers, the contributors. That's my goal. That's thrilling to me, to unleash people to go from surviving to thriving. Yeah. And that's what we're watching every day.
I love it.
It's working.
So It absolutely is. And I've seen it because I live in Hilliard and you all are very active in Hilliard. I've seen it. And that's why I just love this foundation. I'm so honored to have you on. Last time, what are all the links again?
We are festa.org is our website. And we have a video. We have lots of videos there. So if you're interested, like, what does a family English program even look like with people from 62 countries and 37 zip codes? We have a video right on the homepage to show you. Our Facebook and our Instagram are at We Are Festa, F-E-S-T-A, which helps us tell the story. We feed, educate, serve, train, and advocate.
I always wondered what the name stood for. So thank you for clearing that up. Yeah. Last thing is for Christmas. We're in that holiday season. We're in the Christmas season. What are you all doing for that?
We run in partnership with Cornerstone Christian Fellowship Church in Main Street of Hilliard, a dignity-based Christmas store. So it's called the Good Tidings Christmas Store. It starts next week. And we have a record number of families with it, which is both lovely and sad all at the same time.
Right.
We have about
318
families registered, representing over 900 children. And so we have toys. People can donate toys still right now. We will take them through next Friday. Toys for infants all the way to high schoolers, especially elementary and high school is where we always can use more toys. And parents get to shop. We give them the gift of dignity at Christmas. They get to come and shop and pick out the perfect thing for their children. Also a coat, a hand-knit scarf, and a hat. And then they get to go to a wrapping station and wrap it and take it home and have the pride of doing that for the children that they love so much, their own children.
Where can they donate for that?
Yeah, so they can call our office and we can give them all the information. So 614-586-7939. And we would love to give them all the details.
Kim, thanks so much. I'm so proud of you. I know we don't know each other really well, but I'm very proud of you for accepting God's call on your life and that tugging on your heart to create room for others to join you. You've done that. And because of that, other families are now speaking English. They have jobs, all the things that you've listed, probably many more that you don't even know about. You know what I'm saying? I think a meal for someone, even back to the early roots of your foundation, that's probably someone you don't even know, but you probably provided a meal one day that changed that child's life. And I'm honored and thankful for all that you guys do.
Oh, thank you so much. I spent some time with a young woman who grew up at our free summer lunch camp at Family ESL. She's now general manager at one of the local restaurants.
There
doing
you go.
Great. He's just doing great. So it's so fun to see children thrive as young adults now.
Well, one day you're going to enter heaven. We all will. And when you do, I have a feeling there's going to be a long line of people thanking you for your impact in their life and what you all do. So thank you. God bless you. I hope people will listen today. I hope they can contribute whatever they can. I know it's that season, right? But thanks so much, Kim. It has been an honor to be with you today.
Thank you so much, Aaron. We love Unscripted. Thanks.
Talk soon.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Unscripted Podcast with your host, Aaron Conrad, from his studio in Old Hilliard. Make sure to like, share, follow, and review on your favorite podcast platforms. Also, make sure to check out my song, Great and Mighty One, on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you find your music. We'll see you next time on Unscripted with Aaron Conrad.